Hi, I'm Mark Goodfellow. I'm the lead elder of Church on the Way. I want to introduce us as a church to you, who we are. I want to tell you that we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we want to make him known throughout the earth. We want to work with God the Holy Spirit as he leads us and guides us in endeavoring to do this. We want to just tell you that we're a family that works together. We're united as one. We're on a journey to fulfill the purposes of God in our life. And we encourage you as we have this pioneering heart to go to the nations and to preach this gospel, not only in our nation of South Africa, but the nations of the earth, to reach out with the good news that we find in Jesus Christ. So in this process, we really do believe that we are a church on the go. We are on this journey, this adventure together. We don't have all the answers, but we do know who has the answer, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So come and join us as we work together and we work on this journey to fulfill his plans and purposes for our lives. God bless you. I know Brad has prayed, but let's just pray quickly. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to share your word. And Lord, we thank you that your word is a light to our path, and we ask that you would undertake this morning, that you would change every one of us, and that we would not be the same from what we arrived into this place. We thank you for your goodness and your grace now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you excited about carols tonight? I am, and we're trusting God for no rain, and we're just trusting for many people to be impacted as we praise our Lord through carols. Pray for the worship team. Pray for those that are setting up. May it all go well and glory to God. You know, we come to the end of the year, and I watch all of you, and people are tired. And that's very normal, for we get to the end of the season, and we've had children that write in exams, and everyone's got to the end, and everyone's looking forward to a break. But I want to just say, God never goes on holiday. And we should never go on holiday when it comes to our spiritual growth and the outworking of what God has for us. And so often there are so many distractions in life, and that causes us to, in a way, to fall away from what the Lord is in doing in our life. So I want to just encourage us today. The title of my message is Be Devoted to the Word. And I want to just say there's a journey in life. When you're born again, when you come to know Christ, there's a journey for every single one of us to get to know the living word. So it's not just scripture, but as God reveals himself through scripture, to come and know the living word. Now, the wonderful thing is that when the Lord said to his disciples, wait until you receive power from Most High, the Holy Spirit and his power. And the Holy Spirit has been sent to teach us, and not only to teach us the word of God, but also to guide us. Now, I've shared with you before, I was a scout. And they taught us to do map reading, and we did things called orienteering, where you got bearings and you took the map and you orientated towards north, and you used the map to get cross references and to find out where you were going, and then you walked those distances, and you had a competition to do those things. And God has given us a map, and that map is his word, and we must say thank you to God for this canon of scripture, the Bible, which is a library of scripture that God has given us by the Holy Spirit, written through men. And we need to looking at the map. It's a very important compass to our lives. But the Holy Spirit has been sent as a guide to bring us to an understanding. We have the author who wrote the scriptures, who's with us and who's in us, that wants to reveal the depth of this word. You see, the journey that we have, when you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's the beginning. It's not the end. And God wants to reveal himself to you. And how does God reveal himself? Yes, he reveals himself to you individually but through his person that dwells within you. But the means he uses is scripture, his word. He wants to reveal not only who he is, he wants to reveal his character to you, but he wants to reveal his ways to you. We do not understand his ways. You know, when we get married and when we come into a marriage covenant, one of the biggest challenges, you have two different people coming and got to become one, and you've got to lay down self, and you've got to work out a relationship together, and you've got to work out different ways. And I know in my marriage, I've got different ways to Nikki, and she's got different ways to me. And even today, we are still different, and God has made us different. And God is different to us. He's not the same as us. Yes, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, but he has his ways. And you got to realize that God, in a sense, thinks differently to us because he's the creator and he's sovereign and he's almighty, but he wants to teach us his ways. And that's what I want to really encourage us today. As we get to this season, do not take your foot off the accelerator in respect of knowing Christ and through his word. You make sure that you keep yourself in that place of being disciplined and enabling yourself for God to speak to you, for yourself to actually grow in the Word of God. I want to go to the scripture that tells us that we need to be devoted to scripture from Acts chapter 2, verse 42. We know that this is part of the pillars of the church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. The aspect of the apostles' teaching was their teaching of the New Testament, understanding who the new covenant was, and understanding from the old covenant and how that's been fulfilled in Christ. And we have that responsibility to be devoted to the Word of God. But I want to just say here, as someone that loves you, that is a pastor, that leads this church, your spiritual growth, I have oversight to guide you and direct you. But your growth is your responsibility. I cannot take responsibility for your growth in any way. When we stand before the Lord one day, he says to us individually, where are you and what did you do with your life? So your spiritual growth and the outworking, we are there to send to guide you and to direct you and to be there to work as leaders and to love you. But your growth in Christ is your responsibility. And that it saddens my heart as I look to the church. And I see over the years that I've been serving the Lord that many, many of those who love the Lord have fallen away, especially from the Word. They are not students of the Word. They are not disciplined in the Word. The Bible, in some places, is an ornament next to their bed. They do not know the Scriptures. They do not know God because they do not know His Word. You know, in the time of Ezra, there was the word was not brought before the people, and when they heard the word of God, the Mosaic law, they cried because they hadn't heard the revelation of God. And even from the time of the prophets to the time when Jesus came, the word of the Lord was scarce. But you have the Scriptures and you have the Holy Spirit, and it should not be scarce in your life. You know, before I knew Christ, the Bible was something I never knew anything about. I remember we went to church and we got a Bible, but to read the Scriptures, understand the Scriptures, I didn't know. And when I went to the army, I was given the issue of the army Bible, and I remember landing up with a bunch of Christians, and they were into the Scriptures, and I couldn't understand this. Why would they be reading the Scriptures and sharing the Scriptures? Because I was not trained to say how important the Word of God was. And when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I remember my late dad coming and saying to me, are you studying accountancy or are you studying the Word of God? And I just know when the Holy Spirit comes, he comes and he stirs our hearts because he wants to teach us Christ and he wants us to reveal Christ through the Word of God to us. And I come here to encourage you here today because I believe God wants to take you on a road of maturity. This oil that God is speaking about, we have got to get to know Christ. The vision for this church is to know our Lord Jesus Christ and to make him known and to go and partner with the Holy Spirit. What good is it to go and tell the message when you do not know the living God? And you are on a journey, and the Lord loves you dearly, and he wants to reveal himself to you. It wasn't just the great names in the Old Testament that we read about, the Moses and the Abrahams and the Davids. It's you. He died on the cross for you, and he wants to reveal himself to you. And he wants to come and bring this revelation, because it comes by revelation. It comes through a personal relationship with the living God as he wants to reveal himself to you. The scripture says we need to study the living word of God to show ourselves approved. So what has happened is this. Yes, we've got seminaries, we've got theological colleges, and it's good to do those things. It's good to be able to break up the word of God. But, you know, that can bring an education, but not a knowing. And when the Spirit of God comes, he wants to teach us the living God, and that comes by revelation. And that thing comes again with time. You've got to give God time in His Word, allow Him to reveal Himself to you. You see, this mystery of Christ is not meant to remain a mystery. It's to be there in a place where God can actually reveal Himself to you. But you've got to enable Him to open up His Word to you. So the scripture in Acts chapter 2, 42 says, be devoted. So it's not something that you think, maybe I'll do it today and maybe once a week it is good enough. I believe it's got to be a continual outworking of commitment and a disciplined lifestyle. We see so many of the people today that today become sportsmen. They become so disciplined in that if they want to do well in their races or achieve, ask Bella in this Achieving Colors for Gauteng now, if she has had to be very disciplined. She has worked very hard. She comes home from school. She practices. On the weekends, they're out. Very, very disciplined. But if you want to know Christ, it's exactly that. That's why you're called a disciple. You can become a disciple of Christ. You have to have a disciplined lifestyle. And some of us battled with that. But I want to say, if you want to be successful in life, the Holy Spirit wants to teach you, and He will bring you into that place. So firstly, who is the Word? And I want to read from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. That's Jesus, the Word. The Bible talks about the Logos and the Rhema. This is the Logos. This is the living Word of God. John chapter 1, verse 14, the Word became flesh. Jesus came to be amongst us, made His dwelling amongst us, and we've seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The living Word is God, the person, Jesus. He is the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Christ, the Lord, the Master of all. And the revelation that came to the early church was a revelation of Christ, the living Word. And it got to the place where they realized if they were to get this message out, they had to preach Christ. And 1 Corinthians 1 verse 23 says, we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. We preach Christ. But you have to preach Christ to yourself first before you can preach Christ to anyone else. You need to know Him. And God wants to take you on a journey. And I believe it's a wonderful journey as you allow God the Holy Spirit to reveal. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 5 says, for we do not preach ourselves, but we preach Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as servants for the Lord's sake. We preach Jesus Christ as Lord. You see, Jesus has always been God, but He laid down His deity and became humble and walked as a man, as incarnate. And He came, but He lived on earth and He came to reveal the Father to us. But He was the Christ. He was the Messiah. He's the King of kings, the Lord of lords, and He brought His kingdom. And when He died on the cross and He paid the price for our sin and our death, He opened up the way for His kingdom to come and that we can become children of God. It's incredible, this good news. And you're not going to find this good news until you study the scriptures and the Holy Spirit reveals this thing. Then you can rejoice and you can know what God has for us. And you see, Paul, after he had this incredible revelation of Christ in him, the hope of glory, he gets to Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 to 12. And verse 10 says, I want to know Christ. By the time, I've said this before, by the time Paul penned or wrote this, he had been walking with Jesus for over 30 years. And even at that time, he had incredible divine revelation of who God was. He wanted to know Christ. And I want to just encourage you that it's an opportunity as we go into the holiday season and you have more time. Switch that TV off. Pick up your Bible and read Scripture and meditate on Scripture. And let the Holy Spirit give him an opportunity. I know we want to go on holiday and there's things and pleasures to go and do. But take time to read Scripture. And allow Scripture to come and bring revelation to you to reveal who is this Jesus. You know, I think we went away in July this year and I've said, I'm not going to read another book, but I'm going to read my Bible. And I got stuck into the book of Colossians. And I kept on reading the one chapter every single day. I cannot tell you the understanding, the revelation, just by reading one chapter, as God begins to open up the depths of who he is just through the word. You see, I'm going to get to it, but the scripture is not just written on paper and it's written in black ink on white paper. It is living. It's alive. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. It's incredible. When you take hold of this, and God's created us spiritual beings, and this word, as we comprehend it, as we read it, it becomes alive. And I don't know if you know, when you read your Bible and you read the scriptures, and I want to just say devotions, daily devotions are good, and I encourage every one of you to do daily devotions, but read the scriptures. Read from Genesis to Revelation. Don't just get your favorite book and live there. You've got to get the whole counsel of God. And that will take you a lifetime. It will take you, and even when you get to the end of your life, you still don't know much. You're still going to be growing in this wonder of who you are in Christ. So my second point is, Jesus preaches to the large crowd about when the word of God is actually sown. And I want to just, in a sense, warn you and also encourage you through this parable that the Lord gave. In Luke chapter 8, verses 4 to 15, while a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled upon, and the birds of the air ate it up. I did some seed sowing the other day, and we had to be shooing the birds because they're eating all my seed that I sowed. So I know this. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and withered and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, and it came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Who has ears to hear, let him hear." Very important statement. If you have ears, be hearing. His disciples asked him, what does this parable mean? He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that those seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from them, from their hearts, so they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy, but when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in time of testing they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with noble and good heart who hear the word and retain it, and preserving and by persevering produce a crop. Now, that is a reality. What the Lord spoke about, the sowing of his word, is a reality to every single one of us. And not all of us, including myself, have good soil in our hearts. All of us have been in stages of this parable where the devil has come and robbed us of the word. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. All of a sudden you think like you've got a lack of memory. What has actually happened? It's gone. The devil literally comes and he steals the word of God. Because it's spirit, and I don't know how he does it, but the Bible tells us he can do it. When the word comes, a revelation comes, and God works through your spirit into your mind, and it's there, and all of a sudden it's gone. So you have to protect what is being given to you. You cannot just assume, well, what God's given to you, you're going to receive. If the Lord is revealing it to you, we have the response, because the Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. God's not going to do that. So when God comes and brings a revelation of who he is and what he's doing in your life, you've got to protect it. In the name of Jesus. Like I want to just say, we're going to speak a bit later about the prophetic word that you receive into your life. You have to protect it. It's not just a prophetic word that God has actually given to you. Well, that's nice. You got to pray through it. You got to believe it. But you also got to protect it. It's the same. Why do we got the prophecies still lying in the church here or the church hall? Is because God has spoken. We need to believe and we need to protect what God is actually working out. So be aware the devil comes to rob, to kill and destroy, but to take the word of God. And if he can rob you of the word of God, if he can bring confusion through the word of God, if he can bring division through the word of God, you will flounder. Because we grow, this is the essence of what we, the building block of our lives is the word of God. And the devil can take that away from. Why is the church floundering? She does not know the word of God. She is infant. And are we infant? Because the Bible wants us to grow to maturity. And how do we grow to maturity? We grow to maturity as we are led by the Spirit of God and we are trained by the Spirit of God and we grow up in Christ and we stand, we get to a place of maturity. We were at the cyclists UN function and Quinton was just saying is that they've proven that between 55 to 70 is when you're the most productive in your life. And they're retiring us at 60. Can you believe it? But the truth of the matter is that's when you're productive because you've learned life's lessons, you've matured, and when you apply yourself, so like Nikki, who's baked a cake, when she was 20 and she baked the cake, it flopped. When she bakes it now, it's supreme every single time. She's still flopped because the oven's got a problem, not her. But I want to just say there's a maturity that comes as we get older. But God wants us to be mature in the Word of God because there are things that are hitting your life. You don't know what to do. Yes, we cry out in prayer. We ask for wisdom. But as we are trained by God through His Word, we know what to do. And that's where we need to grow into maturity. So we've got to be aware of this. The second one is that we receive the Word, but there's no root. So the Word comes, it washes over these distractions, and the Word doesn't get into our hearts and into our minds. And that sometimes the word has to be pondered upon, it has to be embraced, it has to be believed, faith is going to be put into it, and then it finds root. And I don't know if you love gardening or you farming, and that when you put a seed in the ground, the root comes first. And the root's got to get deep, and it's got to get the moisture, it's got to get the nutrients from the ground, and then the stem grows and the leaf grows, and it's got to find root. But if the root does not, the devil's very clever, and the things that do not find root there, you will not grow up into the fullness that God has for you. And then there's the one that I think majority of the world today, with a materialistic world that we live in, that where people are, life is choked up through life's worries, riches, and pleasures. The world lives for riches and pleasures. I'm absolutely astounded, even in the church, that the church doesn't always serve God, they serve money. And the life of God is choked. The Bible tells us that. People look for pleasures. They look for what they can do. And it's whether, and I'm not saying that's wrong. We need to have, I want to say there's time of relaxation and there's times that we need to go and enjoy ourselves. But if that becomes the whole essence of your life, in a sense, it becomes idolatry. Can I just say, your family can become idolatrous. Because the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. If you put the family first, it's idolatry. And this becomes idolatry when God doesn't become first in these things. But these things come and choke. One of the biggest things, the world talks about mental health. It's not mental health, it's worry. It's anxiety. And Jesus here warns about that. And Jesus has given us the prescription through the word how to deal with it. Cast all your cares upon the Lord because he cares. Be anxious for nothing, but with prayer and petition, make your requests known to God with thanksgiving. You can deal with it. And you're going to face worries. You're going to face the temptation of riches and pleasures. But how are you going to deal with it? God wants to teach you through his word how to deal with it. And then it says the seed comes on good soil and produces a crop. Another portion of scripture says 30, 60 to 100 fold. And I'm telling you now, God has invested his word in us. And Matthew 25 says he's going to hold us accountable with what he's invested in us. His word is not worthless. The word is him and everything that he is. And when he gives of him, he's giving us his everything. And God is a righteous, almighty, sovereign God. He's going to demand a return. And he's going to demand a return on what he's invested in us. And I want to just say, you have an opportunity while you're still on earth to actually embrace this word and to produce a harvest in your heart. Who judges that? The Lord does. I don't see that. God sees that, and he's a just God. But I want to just say and encourage you today, you have an opportunity to produce. from the Word of God, the seed that is planted in your heart, as Jesus said, like a mustard seed will grow into this massive tree. You have an opportunity to allow His Word to find root in your life and to grow into a place of maturity and bring glory to Him. Do not be robbed by the devil. Do not allow it not to find root. Do not let this world rob you of what God has for you. Produce a crop. You have one life, not many lives. You have one life. And make sure your life counts. And we have a responsibility in the church. We don't live like the world. Our lives shouldn't be like the world. Even though we live in the world, we need to find and we need to be grown rich in this. So the Word of God, the next point is, says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that a man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It didn't say educated, it says equipped. We're equipped, and we're equipped. Why? It's like the old maxim when we go into Africa, do we give them fish or teach them to fish? No, we teach them to fish. The same with God. He wants to teach us to live. He doesn't want to just give us life. He wants to teach us to live life and to release that life. I want to just, as I just sensed in my heart, learn to operate in faith. It's something that we don't always hear anymore, but I want to encourage you, learn to operate in faith in God's Word. Not faith in yourself, not in faith in faith, but faith in God's Word and God's promises to you. There is a great reward for that, because there's complexities ahead of us. There's things that we are facing. Allow faith to be exercised in His Word, the Word that He gives you, the revelation He gives you, and you'll be surprised at what God will do for you. Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It even penetrates the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Wow, that is true. When you read the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit brings revelation through it, it's living. You know, you can sense it. It's alive. It's not dead. It's not just something that sits on a page, because you've got the Spirit of God. You're in Christ. It's alive. And remember, when you pick up this book, whether on your phones or whatever, it's alive. It's teeming with life, and you're delving into, like when you go to those rock pools down at the coast and you look in and you see it teeming with fish and the crabs and anemones and all those things there. It's the same with the Word of God. This is not dead. It's alive. And God wants to reveal it to you. Yeah, in Revelations 1:6, Jesus said the word that came out of His mouth is a sharp double-edged sword. Jesus still uses His Word. It was used in creation to create the earth. The Holy Spirit used on the Word created the heavens and the earth in the same that God wants to teach us. The application, the Word is a lamp to our path. Psalm 119, verse 105, the Word is a lamp to my feet, a light for my path. When you gain through issues and you need to know what you need to do, and I'm not exempt, I need to know also what to do, I turn to the Lord and I ask Him for His Word, for the Scriptures. Why? Because this is God's ways and God's will. You know, we're wanting to know what God's will is. It's in His Word. And He will reveal it to you. That's why you work together with the Holy Spirit. You don't know what to do. Okay, Lord, reveal Your Word to me. Whether from the Old Testament or the New Testament, just make sure it's in Christ. Find the relevance of that and then put faith in it. And you'll see it'll be a light to your path. Incredible. You know, the Word will teach you counsel to do this and to do that. You know, when we look at the world and we see the world falling into unrighteousness and the ways of what they are doing with corruption and stealing and all those things, that is not our way. Our way is what God has for us to do. So yes, we encourage one another, but let me tell you, God is committed to you to teach you His will and His way, but He wants to reveal it through His Word. Now, I want to just say something, is that ask God for the spirit of the gift of prophecy. Because God is prophetic, and every word that He speaks is prophetic. It's declaring the future and declaring His will and His way. And if you got the gift of prophecy, it's not just to stand in the front of the church to encourage the church. You are the church. And you can encourage yourself through the prophetic, and the Spirit of God will release that. So in our relationship with God, there's a prophetic outworking. I know my mom's a testimony of that. The gift of prophecy works through her in revealing what God wants to say to her. And I want to encourage you, every one of us needs a revelation by the Holy Spirit, His Word to us. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, it says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my way is higher than your ways, my thoughts, and my thoughts than your thoughts." I want to say Bob Mumford. You remember Bob Mumford? The Lord said to him, he said, "My son, I want you, my thoughts to be your thoughts." That's why there's a process, is that we need to have a renewal of the mind. Romans 12 says God wants to transform us by the renewing of our minds, that our minds get renewed. It's one of the aspects of when we're born again, it has to be transformed. And we need the scripture. As the scripture comes and it puts new pathways in our minds, and it determines that we will know the thoughts of God. See, so often we want to hear God to say, go this way and go that way. But when you know his word, you know which way to go. Because he's transformed you, he's renewed you, and you have right thinking so you can make right decisions. And I really want to encourage you, because God wants to bring us to a place in 1 Corinthians 2:16 that we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. And that's what you need to pray for. Lord, I'm coming into a situation. Can I have the mind of Christ? And that's God's thoughts and God's ways of what he wants him to do in those circumstances. We all have to raise children. We all have work colleagues. We have things we're facing in every moment of our life. What do we need to do? We need to hear God. And he wants to reveal those things. Sometimes it doesn't come quickly. We've got to be patient. We've got to wait upon the Lord. And that's a skill we all got to grow into, because the word of God doesn't come immediately. It's not instantaneous. You go down to McDonald's and you want a hamburger and chips, it's there. With God, his timing's perfect. But you be patient with him. He will reveal his will to you. And I want to say to you, folk, it's in every aspect of your life. It's not just in the seeming, the spiritual things that you're doing, whether it's from your cooking, to whether it's your education, to whether it's your shopping, whatever you're doing, God is committed to reveal his will and his way in every aspect of your life. And I really want to encourage you to grow in that area. You see, when we get the thoughts right, we start to believe correctly, we start to think correctly, we start to speak correctly, and we start to do things right. And I want to just say that, I want to say that again. Right believing causes right thinking, causes right speaking, causes right doing. Now, if you get that wrong, and the devil can confuse you and get your believing all wrong and get you to place, you will produce wrong. And God wants to change, because many Christians haven't changed their thinking. They're still producing wrong. Many Christians, because they haven't allowed their minds to be renewed, are still producing unrighteousness. And God doesn't want that to take place. You see, this whole thing of our believing turns into our speaking. The whole scripture that comes to us for believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it's with your heart that you believe and are justified, and with your mouth that you confess and are saved. You see, God wants us to believe in our hearts and then speak. So that's why the revelation must come through the word of God. It comes into our hearts. And when we believe it correctly, we speak it. And salvation comes that way. Now, salvation is not just Jesus coming Lord of our lives. Salvation is a process through the sanctification of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, changing us. It flows through our lives for all of our lives here on earth. Then the Lord teaches us his word, and then he gives us these promises. And I want to go through these things quickly. The authority to speak his word. You know these things. Mark chapter 11, verses 20 to 25, but I'm going to just read from 22. His disciples, they cursed the fig tree. Jesus cursed the fig tree, and then he gives this instruction to them. Have faith in God. That's in his word. Jesus answered, and I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Incredible, incredible truth. That we don't understand these words that we speak, and that's why we've got to watch what we say. Because when we need to say the things of life and power, and we've been speaking darkness and death and destruction, we will have no power. But if we consistently train ourselves to be thinking correctly, speaking correctly, then when the time comes when you got to speak to your mountain, the power will be evident in your life. And we're all guilty of that. But I want to just say there's something. Your bank account does not solve all problems. You cannot use money to solve all problems. And yes, even prayer, and this is a portion of prayer, prayer can solve all problems, but God wants us at times, because he raises us to maturity to speak into the situation. You know, when the storm came for the disciples on the Lake of Galilee, the Lord was, he rebuked them. He said, where's your faith? Why are you in unbelief? Yes, you're going to drown, but why don't you take authority? Why don't you speak to the wind and the waves? And yes, he rebuked the wind and the waves, but he wasn't doing that. He was showing them what we need to do. And this is when we grow into maturity. We actually can take our circumstances, we can look at them, and we say, Lord, you've given us authority over these circumstances, and you speak life into those circumstances. Does it seemingly always work? I don't know. But I believe God's given us his instruction here. But if we would speak his word, if he could create the heavens and the earth, that men are still figuring out today what is the intricacy and the complexity of creation. He sent his word and the Holy Spirit created life. He's given us that ability as the children and the sons of God to speak his word. Incredible, incredible, incredible privilege. Ephesians 6 verse 17, we put on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Where is your sword? Is it in its sheath? Is it just shining like the regalia that the monarch now carries a sword around, and it's just part of the regalia that he wears? But we don't wear regalia. We are dressed in Christ. And we have a sword that's got to be, and if you're not using your sword, you're not using your weapon, and you're not coming against the enemy, and you're not pushing him away from you, you need to use the word of God. You know, when we were growing up with the kids and that, we used to drive to school and we used to confess the scriptures, and we haven't been doing that for a number of years, but I know that's resonant in their hearts, and you need to be doing that regularly too, is be speaking the word of God over your life and declaring things over your circumstances. Simple things like, if God is for me, who can be against me? God is my helper. He's my shield. He's my rock. There are promises in the word of God. As you start to speak the word, just hear that's the confession, what you start to believe it, but let me tell you, it's declared in the heavenly realms and it's done. The spiritual realm is real, and you start to declare these things over you, it becomes a living reality, because we all face these difficult things and we need to know these promises of God as God goes forward before us. Hold the word dear to your heart. So in conclusion, we need to know the word, we need to know the scriptures, we need to be renewed in our minds, be transformed. But there's a wonderful scripture in the Old Testament where God imposed upon the Israelites the same thing. He gave the word through the law, and he held them accountable to the law. They needed to know the law. I read from Deuteronomy verse 6, verse 4 to 9. Hear, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands, bind them on your foreheads, write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Now, when we look at those who follow the Jewish ways, they do that, but they are symbolisms now. But we, under the new covenant, actually also need to do this. And I want to just say, the word needs to be in our hearts. As God reveals it to us, as we love him, he reveals his word to us. It needs to be important. We need to take his word and we need to impress it upon our children. We need to be teaching the next generation the word of God. We need to reveal in the truth to our children, to our grandchildren. And when do we do it? When we're sitting down, when we're walking, when we're lying down, when in our work, in every all of our activities, when we do in life, we need to be talking the word of God. I'm amazed, and I'm guilty also, is that when we get into conversation with people, we become so worldly, and we talk about what's happening in Ukraine and who's winning the World Cup, and did you see the Springboks? They won last night. Amen. But you know what? That's our conversation, and we never get into the word. And I want to just encourage us that sometimes, and I know we're sometimes with ungodly people, but even with Christians, raise the word. Talk about the word. Did you see? God spoke to me about this today. Reveal those things. Be excited about where your walk is with the Lord. Impress upon the people that you're even relating to what God is sharing with you. And if you haven't got anything to share, go and find something to share. Go and spend time with God. Because if it's just talking about worldly things, I want to just say to you, that's not God's plan for our lives. We've got to get, in a sense, on the page what God has planned for us, to be talking about his word. And then it says here, tie the symbols on your hands. And my impression of that is be doers of the word and not hearers. So you put it on your hands, so you write it on, in a sense, on your hands. I'm going to go and do the word. And then bind them on your foreheads. Make sure you are reading, meditating, and pondering on the word of God, that it's before you always. And on the door frames of your houses, on your heart and your gates, may the entrance of your heart may always be a place. As I said, make sure the enemy's not robbing the word of God from you. Make sure that it's embraced in your heart and that you're holding on to God's word. Very important. I know today we don't buy Bibles so often. We don't buy the physical Bible. And I want to encourage you to buy a physical Bible and to have it next to your bed and to have it when you are traveling. I know it's on your phone now, but have a physical Bible. Honestly, there's something of having a physical Bible, of actually reading the scriptures. Have the word of God. And I know it's skunder what I'm going to say to you, but even in our loo, we got a Bible. It's a place to read the scriptures that God can actually, because otherwise this, you get distracted. And I encourage you really today, as we get into the holiday season, don't get into, and I'm saying, yes, have fun. Go and have a good holiday and watch the movies and some downtime and that. But put more of the word of God in your life. Do you give 3 hours a day to television and you give 5 minutes to the scriptures? Are we all guilty? Yes. And I wanted to say to you, yes, we need downtime. But you know, when you're down and you're watching that thing, I don't understand the technology behind the thing, but you become passive with a TV. But when you read the scriptures, you become engaging and your whole being gets changed. Your whole being, there's something happens when the living word of God, it impacts your spirit, soul, and your body in everything. You know, this scripture brings life to your body. You want healing. I know, yes, God needs to add healing, but the word is alive and it'll bring life to you. So I really encourage you today is that don't neglect, be devoted to the word of God. Be devoted to the word of God. And I say again, it's your responsibility. I have a responsibility to give you, and so do the elders and those that are teaching, to train you in the way of the, but you have got to be a disciple. And you have to train yourself in the word, show yourself approved. And if you remain infant, it's your responsibility to become mature. God wants to equip you. He doesn't, you know, I look at little Amos now. He's grown. I think he's 6 months old now. And he's growing. He's going on to solids. But if you're a Christian and you've been born again 30 years ago and you're still eating of the milk of the word of God, skunder. We should all be growing and growing to maturity beyond the solid word of God. And be grown into maturity. And unfortunately, the devil's been so clever, the church is weak and infant throughout the earth. They do not know the scriptures. They do not stand on the scriptures. They do not stand on the promises of God's word. And I want to encourage us, let's be people of God's word. Yes, with the Spirit of God. We're not just word, we're word and spirit. But get the word into your heart. And let's believe it and let's see God work through it. Let's pray for you, and then I'm going to hand over to Ivan to break bread with us. Father, we just thank you for this encouragement. In a sense, we've all been rebuked because, Lord, we're all lacking in this area. But Holy Spirit, as we just give ourselves to renew our commitment to knowing Christ, that through your word, Lord, where we haven't picked up the scriptures, Lord, may we make a commitment today to read the word of God. And Lord, that you'd reveal your truth and that we would read the whole word of God, not just the New Testament, but the Old Testament too, but see everything flowing as a revelation of Christ. So Holy Spirit, I give you your church and ask, will you train us, Holy Spirit? You're our teacher. Will you teach us Christ? Will you teach us the word of God? May we hold and honor the word of God before us and come to a full understanding and a full revelation of the truth that is found in Christ now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.